a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Utah's Morning News with Tim Hughes and Amanda Dixon on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good morning, KSL News Time, now 6:30.
KSL's top story this hour.
The investigation continues this morning into the shooter who murdered 19 children inside an elementary school in Texas.
His family says they did not notice any signs he was planning an attack. ABC News correspondent Matt Gutman begins our team coverage from Uvalde.
The mother of the gunman telling ABC News she had uneasy feelings sometimes about her son, saying he can be aggressive if he got really mad. The shooter's grandfather telling me he had no idea his grandson, who had stopped going to school, had built up that small arsenal.
I didn't know he had weapons or nothing or this or that there. If I would have known, I would have reported it.
You would have reported your own grandson?
Yes.
The president of the Utah Education Association says she can't believe a school shooting incident has happened again. KSL News Radio's Dan Bama says Heidi Matthews' biggest concern is that nothing will change following the shootings in Texas.
After 30 years as an educator and six as president of UEA, Heidi Matthews told KSL-TV's Lad Egan, we can't keep sending the same message.
This pattern of massacre followed by grief, followed by, you know, calls to action, followed by nothing.
Matthews served on the Utah Safe Schools Commission, which was set up after the high school shootings in Parkland, Florida. And while its recommendations had some impact on access to schools, Matthews says more work needs to be done to address mental health issues and access to guns. Dan Bamas, KSL News Radio.
One proposed solution to stopping mass shootings in schools is to make those schools more secure. KSL-TV's Daniela Rivera reports in 2017, the Granite School District passed a bond to do just that.
Granite school officials spent time asking, where are the greatest weaknesses? Lieutenant Nick Street is part of Utah's threat management unit. He says across the state, many schools were built before we saw today's threats to schools. Design upgrades come at a cost.
Renovation and rebuilding projects covered in the 2017 bond are now delayed by 7 to 9 years.
A spokesperson for the district says much of that delay is being caused by the dramatic rise in construction costs.
A lot of people are wondering if there's anything they can do to help the families in Texas.
I work at the Red Cross, and I had people coming in last minute just being like, I don't know if you saw what was going on the news, but I just wanted to feel like I could contribute something.
Courtney Myers tells KSL-TV's Andrew Adams she's actually been trying to avoid news of the shootings. Andrew says hospitals in Texas are asking for blood donations. There are also groups taking financial donations for the families of the victims, as well as money for mental health professionals and attorneys to help deal with the aftermath.
Utah's housing crisis is impacting all of us, and Governor Spencer Cox says a rise in short-term housing rentals is making the problem worse. KSL News Radio's Mark Jackson joins us live with that story, Mark.
That's right, Amanda. The relatively recent trend where properties are being developed into Airbnb rentals keeps families from first-time purchasing affordable housing. The governor says that is worsening the state's housing shortage, especially in smaller towns with affordable housing already and in areas with tourism draws.
That's really chewing up housing stock in areas where we desperately need it.
Speaking to the Bipartisan Policy Center this week, the governor says rental platforms such as Vrbo and Airbnb prevent adequate home building, and that nearly 20,000 properties are now listed as short-term rentals, basically, in his words, taking houses and turning them into hotels. Mark Jackson, KSL News Radio.
KSL weather with Matt Johnson. A mini heat wave is about to hit the Wasatch Front with temperatures reaching the lower 90s today.
As we move into these warmer temperatures, cement and asphalt temperatures get quite hot. So let's say the temperature is 95 outside. That means that the cement would be 140. Asphalt temperature would be 155. So if you're walking the dogs today, try to walk them on the grass or avoid going out during the hot hours of the day. Walk them in the morning or in the evening.
Matt says, well, actually, we are expecting to tie a record hot temperature of 92, but he says there's a chance we'll actually break that record.
First look traffic now, and here's Andy Farnsworth.
And right now we've got traffic filling in a little bit on some city streets around Salt Lake County, especially on Mountain View Corridor on the west side, but nothing too bad to worry you so far. Anywhere going from Ogden to Salt Lake City on the main corridor of I-15 or Provo to downtown in that same stretch. Right now the big problem is I-84 closed eastbound in Morgan because of a really bad semi-rollover a couple of miles east of there. I'm Andy Farnsworth in the KSL Traffic Center.
KSL News Time, 6:36.
We are celebrating KSL News Radio's 100th birthday by highlighting communities along the Wasatch Front, and today, looking at the southern half of Utah County.
Utah is home to more than 100 ghost towns, most of them with ties to the state's mining pass. But one of the most famous is in Utah County, within line of sight from Highway 6 in Spanish Fork Canyon. KSL News Radio's Becky Bruce reports.
Thistle's decline started long before a landslide finished the town off and forced the remaining residents to evacuate to Birdseye. The change from steam to diesel diminished its importance as a maintenance stop on the railroad, and the passenger depot and post office closed in the 70s.
Heavier than normal rain and snow in 1982, followed by a fast snow melt in 83, did the rest. You can still see partially flooded homes and other structures from a pullout overlook on US 6.
BYU is diving into research on how we can better manage our water resources. The university is part of a group of 15 schools who are sharing a $360 million grant from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Dan Ames is a professor of civil and construction engineering at the Y.
The BYU Hydroinformatics Lab is taking the lead on both global and national level stream flow forecasting.
Ames says they're making these water forecasts accessible to people in all types of areas, including agriculture and recreation.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.